Call from the Dáil on Kerry Today with John Downing.
John Downing, very good morning to you. And, well, what a week it has been since last Saturday. And, of course, it dominated proceedings in the Dáil this week. The US and Israeli launched Iran war, I think we can call it now.
Yes, absolutely, Jerry. Last we were talking, it was a different world in the sense, well, I suppose we knew this was impending, but on it came, hurtled in, and huge issues, immediate issues for Ireland. I mean, firstly, repatriating Ireland's Middle East exiles, those who are on holidays, still it is 24,400 people, according to Department of Foreign Affairs this morning, Irish people in that nexus, and trying to get the ones, particularly the people who are on holiday, on a break, whatever. Then all the cost of living, the heating oil, as you said, McGlason's point there, I mean, you know, absolutely screams out at us. It's being made the length and breadth of the country. Big prima facie evidence of profiteering, basically. And government really being rather toothless to do anything practical to deal with that. And then we have, the longer this goes on, there are potential economic threats for us. I mean, leaving aside the morality of killing thousands of people for a very uncertain outcome, a very uncertain set of aims by the US and Israel, or maybe that should be Israel and the US. And but here, I mean, we all remember, so many of us remember 2008, 2008 to, you know, the last decade, as Michael Noonan called it. You know, are we facing into something similar? So huge, big political headaches, and more immediately, Micheál Martin likely to be in or about 10 days' time in the White House with that person.
John, whatever about last year and Donald Trump and the aftermath of the dressing down of Vladimir Zelensky in the White House and Micheál Martin trying to play a balancing act, I mean, what's going to happen this year? Because we've seen Friedrich Merz, the German Chancellor, take a hit domestically in his government because he remained silent. Now, he was obviously caught. It was Monday after the Saturday. He was trying to play a safe game and not overtly criticise Donald Trump, but he's paying a price for it domestically because he didn't.
Yeah,
and in a sense, the European Union, it's very hard to deal with this situation because you have someone acting so unilaterally, sort of on a whim, and then how do you manage that when you're in the room with him in front of the US media?
There are few clear answers to that question. What one would have, I mean, all of the EU reaction was, you know, a bit of hand-wringing, a bit of, oh dear, that's terrible, but few direct criticisms of Israel and Donald Trump on this issue. You know, it's a very complex problem because, of course, Iran are such international pariahs. You know, what do you do? You're not going to, you know, bet the farm for them either. So, you know, this one is going to be played by ear, and there are a few clear answers.
Mm. Does it bring the Irish neutrality debate back into focus? Does it bring the Shannon stopover back into focus as well? That issue was raised in the Dáil this week. I don't see any of those things changing immediately, but is that now on the agenda again? Ireland and its, you know, the Shannon Airport, US military planes issue.
Yes, absolutely. It all of these things are back there. We saw Spain, which has a number of US bases telling Washington, look, you're not using them for this, and that's all there is to it. Similarly, Shannon, in situations like this, is a very valuable resource, and that is a very tricky issue. Yeah. Irish military neutrality was always going to be a big one. We're about 13, 14 weeks away from the start of the Irish presidency, the issue of the 27 member states, we are one of four, which is not part of NATO, and which are not part of NATO. So, you know, the big part of the EU agenda is going to be defence issues. The job of the presidency is to steer and advance those, irrespective of your own national self-interests. So we're going to see an awful lot of clashes about this. And yes, Shannon, which waxes and wanes, is back on the agenda as well.
And John, even from the security point of view, it was already very high in the agenda, already a lot of concern about our capability to manage a EU presidency from a security point of view. The concern would be from what's happening in Iran, and as you extended out into June when we take over, the possibility of an increase in terrorist incidents here in the European Union as a result of what has happened, really kind of all over the world as a result of what has happened and what is happening, that's got to be heightened, another headache for the Irish government.
Yes, absolutely. And again, questions about our, you know, there's the whole thing about the undersea cables, cyber attacks, all of these things, and, you know, they're going to be huge on our agenda. Bearing in mind undersea cables, the Irish Sea, there's a huge concentration of them, and then down your country, off the southwest, an awful lot of stuff there as well. We have about 88,000 square kilometres of seas nominally under Irish tutelage, and we don't have the resources to protect them. We have big decisions to make, and these debates can no longer be form here politically as being to shelve these, to bypass them. Well, that cannot continue.
Yeah. Okay, John, stay with us. We're going to talk more about the Dáil Political Week and other matters as well, and the return of Phil Hogan, amongst other things. I'll get to those after we take these.
Call from the Dáil on Kerry Today with John Downing.
No, John, looking at, we'll talk in a moment about other things that have happened in the Dáil and the return of Phil Hogan to UN politics, Irish politics, I suppose, in a way, at a very interesting time. But I want you to take a listen to this exchange in the Dáil. This is on Tuesday afternoon. The Dáil resumes at 2 o'clock every Tuesday. Leaders' questions kick things off. A lot of topical things always discussed. Micheál Martin challenged on various issues to do with government policy and international affairs, as he was this week. And then this is what happens.
Thank you, Taoiseach, and that concludes leaders' questions. We now move in accordance with Standing Order 35, and I call on the Chief Whip, Mary Butler, to move the arrangements for this week's business. Thank you, Chief Whip. Are this week's arrangements agreed to? Not agreed. In order of Deputy McLaughlin, followed by Deputy McLaughlin.
When is the Taoiseach going to stand up for our fishing communities in Europe? You know that we're in an unprecedented crisis. 70% cut in mackerel, 41% cut in blue whiting. When will you stand up for Irish fishing communities?
Deputy Marie Sherlock.
When will you do
Deputy
your job for our communities?
You have 30 seconds is all you have. But Deputy Slade Gibney.
We should have a debate in this country on the government's position.
We've heard the implications of the US and Israel's illegal attack on Iran and the retaliatory attacks are far-reaching in terms of citizen safety abroad, in terms of energy prices.
Deputy Richard Boyd Barrett.
Yeah, we need an emergency debate, Taoiseach, on whether our airport, Shannon Airport, is going to be used now by the US military to prosecute what is an absolutely flagrantly illegal military assault on Iran, which has set the entire Middle East on fire.
Thank you, Deputy Collins. Chief Whip, to respond, please.
So the order of business stands as set out, that was circulated to you all, but the Minister, Minister McEntee, will come in during the week to take statements in relation to Iran, and I will engage with the whips in the afternoon. Thank you,
Thank you, Chief Whip. Are the proposed arrangements for this week's business agreed to? Not agreed. Deputies in favour say Tá. Deputies against say Níl. Chilam Gualán Kerstin Richa. Both all. 10 minutes, deputies, for bells. Deputies, Tá 84, Deputies, Níl 68. Thank you, Deputies. We move now to questions on policy or legislation.
Yeah, there you go. That's what played out on Tuesday afternoon. And John, That's what plays out every Tuesday afternoon in this stall, at a time when there's a list as long as your arm of legislation that needs to be passed, important government business needs to be done. Every single week we have this issue. Leaders' Questions goes on for around 49, 50 minutes, bones of an hour, shall we say. And a lot of the topical issues that were raised this week in Leaders' Questions were again raised by some of those deputies there saying we need a debate on this, we need a debate on that. This all comes after a business committee meeting which sets out the agenda for the week, which all parties have an input into and agree. And yet, every week we have this vote all, which takes up, I timed it, about 25 minutes of all time is lost because of this. What's the point, I'm asking? And do they need to drop it?
Yeah, but it's a great point. And you know, as you have noted in the past, like the business committee, as you just said, the business committee are supposed to organise this. So you go in and you can have something quite functional, something that works. But the business committee, a group of cross-party deputies, doesn't actually work. The last time it really worked was in that period, 2016 to 2020, when we had a minority government, when Fianna Fáil were propping up Fine Gael and some independents in a minority administration. Then the government had to listen to the opposition and make compromise arrangements. That isn't happening anymore because the government has a majority on the business committee, therefore it's going to be done their way or the highway. So it is a bit farcical, because the issue, it's a point you have made in the past, this doesn't often either generate publicity for the opposition TDs. And I mean, you know, generating publicity is a legitimate aim if you're in the business of politics, because you don't go into public life to hide behind the door. But yes, this is quite farcical stuff. There is a lot.
Every week's the same, John. Every week is the same. It's disagreed. They're complaining about this. It doesn't get much attention because it's so routine now. It just wastes everyone's time.
Well, you see, process, if you're trying to, I mean, I worked for an editor who said if you came to him with an idea to, for example, to trash that one out, he'd say, oh my God, process, political process stories, just switch off the lights in people's heads. And they do, because, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people, a lot of your listeners this morning were tuned into that, you know, trying to play catch up. What exactly is going on? It's arcane procedural stuff, but it is dreary farce in reality. I'm trying to think of things that can be said in favour of this. I mean, one of the things is that the order of business does facilitate independents who might be adrift who can get in, because the leaders' questions are rotated for the smaller parties. It goes in rotation. So in a given week, you might have something really important to get out there, but it may not be your turn to do it. So hence the order of business. But all in all, this is dreary farce. It's time wasting nonsense at a time when there's a lot of serious stuff going down internationally and in this country.
Yeah, speaking of internationally, former Fine Gael Minister and EU Commissioner Phil Hogan nominated as our candidate to be the next Director General of the UN's Food and Agriculture Organization. Big Phil is back, John, or is he?
Well, he's certainly back on the agenda. He did get the government's imprimatur, and the next question, this will go on probably until late May into June. The bigger question now is, will he get EU approval for this? I think it's important. These are jobs, you know, we suddenly discover, oh dear, we weren't entirely sure this thing existed, but it is important. And it does, if this is successful, I do believe it will improve Ireland's reach internationally and our presence on the world stage. But it remains to be seen whether, A, whether he can get, that this eventually will be made, it will be a decision made by the 190-plus UN, United Nations member states. But more immediately, if he does get the full EU backing, he will be a very strong candidate. He is a very credible candidate as a former agriculture and trade commissioner in Brussels. So it remains to be seen.
Yeah. John, speaking of the UN, though, and the wider conflict from here, I was talking to Minister Neil Richmond there about how unreliable a partner the United States now is, given that it's acting on, seems to be acting on the whim of Donald Trump and not consulting with allies such as they are. I mean, the Taoiseach, in his address and leaders' questions, pointed out several times that the Security Council is not fit for purpose. Is the UN fit for purpose anymore in this new world?
No, it's not. It's you know, and that this there are, it's a bit like the Seanad there and the Irish Senate. There are the shelves are groaning with very realistic proposals to try and make it more real. I mean, just randomly, the it's based on a 1945 post World War II world order. For example, just picking randomly, countries like Brazil, 150 million people and a very important economic entity, India, others of these, not part of the five members of the UN Security Council, which have a veto. A big part of the changed world in which we live is excluded from this. So, yes, I mean, the thing about the UN is it's castigated, derided, abused, not least by the cynicism of the big actors who pull the strings in it. But it's all we have, you know, and if you give up on it, well, you're conceding absolutely to global anarchy.
Yeah, the League of Nations collapsed, John, and look what happened after that.
Yes, absolutely, yeah. A whole series. And Ireland and Eamon de Valera, for his various faults and criticisms at home, played a very important role in trying to make that relevant and trying to make that function. And, you know, history does recall that Ireland bore witness, but it failed, yes.
Yeah. Okay, John, listen, we're going to leave it there. Thanks again for coughing the doll this week.